Sri Ramana, a guru for all ages. In his statement made to a court commission sent to question Sri Bhagavan, he said in the course of the examination, Shiva always remains in three forms. One, as Parabrahman. Two, as Linga. Here, as a hill. And three, as Siddha. Brahmarupa, Lingarupa, Siddharupa. Talk number 492. About the Shiva Siddha who resides eternally on the holy hill, the Arunachala Purana states, Astutta resmin sikhare dhasyate vata buruhaha siddha veshas sadahi vaste yasya mule maheshwaraha myasya chayati mahati sarvada mandala mritihi lakshyate vismayo patraihi sarvada deva manavaihi. On the northern peak of the hill, there is seen a banyan tree where the great Lord in the form of a Siddha eternally sits. The immense shade of the tree constitutes a charmed circle of immortality. Its expanse of foliage represents the entire universe, including men and gods. It is believed by some that Bhagavan was the eternal Shiva Siddha manifesting in human form to guide sincere seekers on the path to deliverance. The large banyan tree that he once saw and attempted to reach before he was stung by a horde of wasps was believed to be that very tree on the northern peak of the hill where the Arunachala Siddha sits. Against Sri Bhagavan's advice, several devotees went there in search of this tree but could never find it. In the end, Bhagavan, perhaps to discourage other curiosity seekers, said it was not a physical tree but a supernatural one. It is believed that if the Maharishi had not been prevented from reaching this banyan tree, his physical presence would have been lost to the world, having reverted to his inaccessible form as the Shiva Siddha. If the Arunachala Siddha sits under that tree at the northern peak, he would naturally be facing south, looking down upon the world, just like Sri Dakshinamurti, who, as youthful sage, sat under the banyan tree in Mauna Nidra and taught the elderly rishis in silence. This silence, according to Bhagavan, is the highest form of teaching and the most potent form of initiation. And Bhagavan Ramana's most powerful teaching was given in silence. For those who could not receive it, he taught with gentle, direct words that expounded that ultimate state. We can say that Arunachala Shiva Siddha, in his mercy, manifested on a human level in the form of Sri Ramana to teach the supreme path to earnest seekers and alleviate the sufferings of mankind. But is the eternal Arunachala Shiva Siddha the same as Sri Dakshinamurti, the primal guru, as Bhagavan called him? And are the Arunachala Siddha and Sri Dakshinamurti and Sri Ramana in reality one and the same? If we are to accept at face value the invocatory verse that Bhagavan wrote for his Tamil translation of Sri Shankaracharya's Dakshinamurti Stotram, then there appears to be little doubt that Bhagavan experienced complete identification with not only Sri Dakshinamurti but also Adi Shankaracharya. That Shankara who appeared as Dakshinamurti to grant peace to the great ascetics Shankara, Sanandana, Sanat Kumara and Sanat Sujata, who revealed his real state of silence and who has expressed the nature of the self in this hymn, "Abides in Me." Since there appears to be a spiritual thread that weaves together the Arunachala mountain, the Arunachala Siddha, Sri Dakshinamurti, Adi Shankaracharya and Sri Ramana, can we not conclude that in July of 1896, this selfsame Shiva shone forth as pure awareness in a 16-year-old boy from Madurai? Then, 6 weeks later, on September 1st, he drew him to his slopes, where he reigned as king of the yogis for 44 years, embodying the eternal state of Arunachala Shiva, in order to vouchsafe his grace and teachings, and to provide hope, guidance, and genuine spiritual experience to sincere seekers of truth. Identifying Bhagavan Ramana with the eternal Siddha who resides on the slope of Arunachala with the youthful sage Sri Dakshinamurti and with Sri Shankaracharya is not something new. Early on, Kavyakanta Ganapati Muni revealed it in his Guru Parampara Stotra. Dakshinamurti Sarambam Shankaracharya Madhyamam Ramanacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam. Obeisance to the line of preceptors with Dakshinamurti in the beginning, Shankara in the middle, and Ramana in the end. In talks, Bhagavan has called Adi Shankaracharya an incarnation of Shiva. Sri Shankara, being the avatar of Shiva, was full of compassion for fallen beings. He wanted all of them to realize their blissful self. He could not reach them all with his silence. So, he composed the Dakshinamurti Stotra in the form of a hymn so that people might read it and understand the truth. Even a greater confirmation regarding Sri Ramana as the primal guru, Sri Dakshinamurti, can be found in what Sri Murugunar told Sadhu Om, who subsequently wrote about it in the following short article. When, in ancient days, even Sri Dakshinamurti, the Adi Guru, Guru of all Gurus, was able to reveal the truth of that one self only through silence, the speechless speech, who else can reveal it through speech? Ekanta Pachakam, verse 5, by Sri Ramana Maharshi. In this collection, Sri Bhagavan once told the following story to Sri Murugunar. When the four aged Sanakadi Rishis first saw the 16-year-old Sri Dakshinamurti sitting under the banyan tree, they were at once attracted by him, understanding him to be their real Sadguru. They approached him, did three pradakshinas around him, prostrated before him, sat at his feet, and began to ask very astute and pertinent questions about the nature of reality and the means of attaining it. Because of the great compassion and fatherly love, Vatsalya, which he felt for his aged disciples, the young Sri Dakshinamurti was overjoyed to see their earnestness, wisdom, and maturity. Hence, he gave apt replies to each of their questions. As he answered each consecutive question, further doubts arose in their minds, and still they asked on. Thus, they continued to question Sri Dakshinamurti for one whole year, and he continued to clear the doubts through his compassionate answers. Finally, however, Sri Dakshinamurti understood that if he gave more answers to their questions, more doubts would arise in their minds, and hence there would never be an end to their ignorance, ajnana. Therefore, suppressing even the feeling of compassion and fatherly love that was welling up within him, he merged himself into supreme silence. Because of that great maturity, which had been ripened to perfection through their year-long association with the Sadguru, as soon as Sri Dakshinamurti thus merged himself, they too automatically merged within into silence, the state of self. Wonderstruck on hearing Sri Bhagavan narrate the story in this manner, Sri Muruganar remarked that in no book is it mentioned Sri Dakshinamurti ever spoke anything. But this is what actually happened, replied Sri Bhagavan. From the authoritative way in which Sri Bhagavan thus replied, and from the clear and descriptive way in which he told the story, Sri Muruganar understood that Sri Bhagavan was none other than Sri Dakshinamurti himself. So, there it is, a confirmation of the eternal existence of the one who many of us consider our Lord and Guru. The same Guru who arrived at the holy hill of the beacon light 120 years ago by our standard of time, and the same Guru who eternally exists to guide us all to our final destination, the Self Supreme. The following article by Dr. T.M.P. Mahadevan seamlessly weaves together the lineage of Sri Dakshinamurti, Sri Shankara and Sri Ramana as the successive incarnations of the divine Sadgurus, world teachers down through the ages. This is followed by an article written in 1952 for The Call Divine. Major A.W. Chadwick provides us with the rationale behind Dakshinamurti's manifestation as Sri Ramana Maharshi. He also relates many practical insights that only a sadhaka sitting at the feet of the master for 15 years could.